Our reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread." This is the end of the lesson.
Thank you very much, Owen. Thank you for reading that for us. We're going to be studying that today, and you may want to keep the Bible open in front of you, or if you've got it you may want to turn to it. It's Luke chapter 24, beginning to look at verse 13. I'm sure you can sort of picture the situation in your mind's eye. Cleopas and his friend, we don't never know his name, are walking dejectedly away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that 7 mile walk. And you can see their heads down, their high hopes have been shattered. Confused and depressed, they're making their way home to recommence their lives. Perhaps they're discussing between themselves how they regarded themselves now as being foolish, even to have followed Jesus. Their feet dragging, they explain one to another how they were fooled by Jesus. He seemed so plausible. He seemed so likely. He seemed to promise so much. And yet their dreams had proved to be shattered and all had proved to be false. I guess at times we can sympathize with them because we too know on occasions what it is to feel let down, disappointed, and a failure. Barack Obama was elected on a tide of optimism as people expected him to change the entire system, being the first black president of the United States. When he came to be re-elected for his second term of office, much of that optimism had evaporated, and people spoke of broken dreams, of disappointments, and perhaps even of unrealistic expectations. And so it was with Cleopas and his companion. In fact, they're so wrapped in misery that they fail to recognize Jesus when a solitary stranger draws near and walks with them. Later, of course, Jesus will be revealed. But at this stage, Jesus, the stranger, pretends not to know their problem and asks them what it is that they are discussing and what they are so troubled about. And it becomes clear from their answer that they have a number of problems, and it's all based in the first instance on the fact that they do not see the true picture. They don't see Jesus as he really is. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things I quite like on occasions is to look at these very intricate sketches and designs by an artist called Escher. And we've got a couple, I think, Simon. Yes, there's the artist. That's not a sketch, that's a picture, a photograph, I think. And some of you will be familiar with his work. Here is one. I don't know whether you see the flying duck or the swimming fish here. And what happens? Yes, some of you are nodding. You see it, but you may not always see it. There is one or two of his building diagrams which would look as though the water's flowing uphill and stairs are going backwards and things. But he's very plausible in producing something which isn't always what it actually sees. There's another one there, Simon, if we can have the next one. Thank you. I don't know which you see. Is it the knights on the black horses or the knights on the white horses? Do you see the picture? You see, the trouble with Cleopas and his friends was they didn't see the picture. They didn't understand Jesus. Thank you. We can take that one away now in case people look at that too long and end up seeing something. No. And that's where Jesus asked them about what they thought of him. And, of course, we immediately see that they misunderstood Jesus. They didn't know who Jesus really was. In their answer, verse 15, they state that Jesus was a prophet, all-powerful, they say, in the eyes of God and man, in all he said. But they had not understood that Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God. And that makes the actions of the chief priests easier to understand. If he sees that they are, in fact, Jesus is the Son of God. Repeatedly, Jesus had made that claim, and yet Cleopas would see him only as another prophet in succession. And I wonder sometimes whether today we see Jesus as he really is. As we listen to people outside the church particularly, they might recognize that Jesus existed, especially at this time of year of Easter. They might say that he was one of the greatest teachers of all time, that he was one of the most important historical figures because of the way that history and time has been changed after his appearance. But do they recognize him as the Son of God? Secondly, they'd misunderstood the freedom that Jesus had come to give. They'd hoped that Jesus would be the one to set Israel free. They had set their hopes that Jesus would somehow drive out the hated Romans and that the temporary rulers of the time, Pilate and Herod, would somehow be done away with. That, of course, was totally to miss the point of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was not going to change the immediate order of the world. He was going to change the order of the world forever. And one of the big things that, of course, had been burdening the Jews for years was the following of the law. the petty regulations, the insistence that following the law was the thing which would eventually achieve salvation. And time again, the Old Testament shows, and we know through experience, that this doesn't work. You cannot follow the rules and regulations simply as a means of salvation. For a start, in Jesus' days, the laws were so prescriptive, thou shalt do this on the Sabbath, you can't do this, you can't wash in this way, you've got to preserve things in this way, that only the rich and those who were in a fairly wealthy position were ever in a position to keep all of the laws, which left the rest of people feeling that they were excluded, sinners and unclean. But even within the Old Testament, are signs that slavishly following the laws and regulations was not what God wanted. In Amos, the Lord says, I hate your religious festivals. I cannot stand them. When you bring me burnt offering and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not accept the animals you have fattened to bring me as offerings. Stop your noisy songs. I do not want to listen to your harp. Instead, let justice flow like a stream and righteousness like a river that never runs dry. You see, in following rules and regulations, the Jews had missed the whole point that it was their relationship with God, the pure, the contrite heart, the need to listen to him and to see justice amidst the society which they lived in around them, that was more important than petty regulations. And you know, that misunderstanding exists even to this day. There are still people who think that Christianity is about following the right rules, putting on the right clothes, coming to church on a Sunday, doing this, not doing that, and those are the things which make you a Christian. But that is to miss the whole point of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus didn't come to impose a new set of rules and regulations, but to show that the way to God is through Jesus himself, to give that freedom through his grace. The third misunderstanding that is revealed as Cleopas and his companion walk and talk with Jesus is they had missed the importance, completely missed the importance, in fact, and misunderstood the third day and the resurrection. And it's very interesting if we look at it, because they first of all start with the report from the women. Now, of course, we have to understand, not in present day, I quickly say, but in past times, it was generally regarded that women could never bear witness to anything in court or in legal forms, and that whatever they said would be totally unreliable. And there's more than a hint of that in this particular verse, if you look at it. You know, the women came back and they told us this, and we didn't really believe them, but some of our companions went to the tomb, and there, of course, they found that the tomb was empty, and it's almost as if we were amazed. They actually confirmed what the women said, but they didn't see Jesus. They had misunderstood the significance of the empty tomb. They had not realized that the empty tomb spelt the victory of Jesus over death. And so it's no wonder when we come to verse 25 that Jesus says to Cleopas and his companion, how foolish you are and how slow you are to believe. And he could be talking, I suppose, to each one of us on occasions. You see, the message of Christ, which he explains to them, and as they walk along, they get the full story from Moses through the prophets, is that Jesus came as the Son of God to die for our sins on the cross. His death was not some tragic error made worse by the malevolence of the priest and Roman authorities, but it was part of God's marvelous plan to free mankind from their sin. And that as he died and suffered on the cross, he took on board the sin for all men at all times. The empty tomb is a vindication of the divinity of Christ. The empty tomb showed that death had been defeated and that Jesus was the Son of God, and that all peoples everywhere were to be saved from the wrath of God by their sins, and not by their own efforts or by slavishly trying to follow hundreds of laws and regulations. They saw that the Old Testament and the teachings there had been fulfilled by the ministry of Jesus, and that Jesus was the culmination of the teachings of thousands of years, and therefore part of God's plan. A new way had come. They may not have been aware, of course, as they were walking back to Emmaus, that when Jesus died, we are told from Luke's gospel that the curtain hanging in the temple had been torn from top to bottom. That curtain was the heavy division between the front of the temple, when those would go in who were apparently of the people, and the holies of holies behind, where only a very few select people were able to go, and even then on a restricted number of occasions. And that barrier had been torn open, symbolically showing that God had reached out to man, and that that division was no longer there due to the death of Jesus. And as they heard this, their hearts burned within them as their dream was reignited, and they began to come to a full understanding of what the gospel message was. They recognized the true meaning of the mission of Jesus, and not wanting him to go, and because of the way in which his magnetic appearance caused them to think, they invited him to stay. They wanted to spend more time with Jesus. They wanted to be in his presence. Somehow, even though they didn't recognize him, they wanted to spend more time with this stranger because of the message that he brought them and because of the attraction of the gospel. So, of course, there comes the moment of revelation, the moment when their eyes are opened, when Jesus sat and ate with them, took the bread, said the blessing, and then broke it. The moment at which they can say, "Yes, I see." The moment at which perhaps some of you nodded a few minutes ago when you said, "Yes, I can see ducks or fish or whatever it was in the picture." I'm reminded of the times when I used to teach A-level biology. And I recall having pupils who struggled particularly because English was not their first language. And any of you know me know that I've got no language apart from English. And as I struggled to teach them in English, they sometimes struggled to understand the intricacies of the subject, and then they struggled to understand what I was saying. And I, in turn, struggled to understand why they couldn't understand. And we had a great interesting situation. It was perfectly transparent to me, but to them, it was like a tremendous block, and I would stumble through words, and I'd try and explain things with descriptions and sketches on the board before projectors and things were widespread. And then sometimes, I'm pleased to say, there was the moment of breakthrough. I recall the time when somebody once asked me, "What is cucumber?" Usually after I've been speaking about it for about 10 minutes, I suddenly thought, they don't even know what a cucumber is. I better explain. And then the time when we had a sudden flash of recognition from a student who came from Hong Kong and said, "Oh, I see, so butterfly and caterpillar are the same species, yes." "Yes," I said. Huge relief swept over me. For A-level, this was going to be a major breakthrough. The moment of recognition, the moment when suddenly the penny drops. And so it was with Cleopas and his companion. The empty tomb and being saved by faith is a great idea. It's a great theology, a great philosophy. And nothing you can do can make God love you more, and nothing you can do can make God love you less. You see, the doing is secondary to his love, and his love is available to all. And because Jesus has died on the cross, he's done it for us, so we cannot boast. It's not our salvation, that we have engineered, it is through the grace of God. But none of that made sense until their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus. So let me ask you, have your eyes been opened? You see, Cleopas and his companion walked with Jesus. They heard the message, but they didn't recognize the man. And you know, it is possible to be like that. It's possible to come to church regularly. It's possible to take part in Christian meetings. It's possible to do all sorts of interesting and useful activities. You may even have been in the church for years, and you've never really seen Jesus. And if you want to see Jesus, I pray that your mind and your heart will be opened. And for those of us who know Jesus, we know that that is the most important thing of all. It's not the theology, it's the relationship. The relationship which we share on a daily basis. And you know, that was the point at which they did something. They'd been still traveling away from Jerusalem. But when they recognized Jesus, they wanted to go back. And despite the fact that it was getting late and probably dark, and the fact they dragged themselves those 7 miles already from Jerusalem, without a thought, they got up and went back. And there's a hint in the passage, they went back at a pace, because they wanted to go back and share their news with others. They wanted to confirm to the disciples that Jesus was alive and they'd seen Jesus. And that was something which was so motivating to them that they felt they had to say something about it. And so, do you live for Jesus? If Jesus died for you, how are you going to live for him? If you have seen Jesus and you know Jesus, how are you going to live for him? You know, some say, some may well say, well, I'd love to live for Jesus, but you know, at the moment I've got this job, or at the moment you don't understand what it's like in my house, or my family circumstances. It's so hard. I may have a partner who doesn't understand or know. I sometimes feel I can't break out of the problems that I have. Or perhaps the worst lie of all, I can't really live for Jesus because it's not like being in full-time Christian employment. Because if you're in full-time Christian employment, of course, everything is for Jesus. And of course, it would be so much easier. I have to say that last one is a particular falsehood. God calls you to live in the situation which he has put you in. God calls you to witness to the people around you in the way that he calls you to. And there are people who are being called by God to use their influence and to speak for Jesus, not somewhere else, but where you are, just in the same way as Cleopas and his companion wanted to share with all of those in Jerusalem. If you cannot live for Jesus in your present situation, you need to see more of Jesus, because Jesus is able to support you in every situation. And we need to be filled by his Spirit every day to pray that every opportunity we can share that gospel message, that the grace of God, the death of Jesus on the cross, is what sets us free. And due to God's great plan, we are able to say, thank you, Jesus, and recognize that what Jesus has done for us is for all men, everywhere. And if you have not recognized that, why not put that right today? Look to Jesus, for he will guide you, and his fire will burn within you as you know his situation. Amen.